We'd like to call the Borough Assembly meeting to order. It's 6 o'clock. Becky, would you please call the roll, please?
Bob?
He's muted. Back to Bob. Jay?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Donna?
Here.
Rob?
Here.
Thomas?
Here.
And Mark is excused, and Bob Lynn is attending via Zoom.
Thank you. And now it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Rise, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we have the approval of the minutes. Could I entertain a motion for the approval of November 6, 2023 Assembly meeting minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Yes. Scott?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, item number four, we have amendment and approval of meeting agenda as presented. Could I get a motion to approve the agenda tonight?
So moved.
Second.
Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Scott?
Yes.
And Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
And Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is public hearings. We have none. So moving on to item number six, bid awards. There are none. Number seven, persons to be heard related to agenda. Persons wishing to share their views on any item on today's agenda may do so at this time. Clerk, do we have anybody in the lineup?
Nobody in the lineup, but looks like we have someone in the room.
Please state your name and who you represent.
My name's Catherine Schneider, and I live at 805 Joa, and I represent myself. And I just wanted to encourage all of you to support the letter from the mayor and the borough to the governor for supporting PMC's Petersburg Medical Center's request for $37 million in next year's state budget for phase four, the main hospital building and shell. And as I've expressed before, and I totally support the hospital, and even after going through my first couple days of feeling like I have a backhoe and a rock in my bedroom, it's fortunately so far it's in the daytime and the muskeg wiggles and amplifies it, but I totally support the hospital and whether, you know, hopefully we'll go ahead with this process, but either way, we just need to keep moving forward. I mean, I'm sure we all shook when we heard about the helicopter crash, and I just can't, I'm not involved with the hospital directly, but many of us have worked in search and rescue and all sorts of things. We've been out fishing, we've heard ships, boats go down, and you know, we've heard all the casualties. And we don't just serve our community, we serve the central part of Southeast Alaska. And when bad things happen, it's really nice when we can be prepared to help those people, the cruise ships. We have the large potential for multi-person casualties. You know, we spend a lot of time flying in good weather, a lot of time flying in bad weather, a lot of time fishing good weather, bad weather, even recreating in bad weather or good weather. So I hope we can keep moving forward and finding creative ways to solve things. And thank you for everybody that responded so incredibly.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else in the audience wishing to speak? Thank you. Please state your name and who you represent.
Sherry Wecon, and I represent Wecon Enterprises. And we were supposed to go negotiations after the August 21st meeting that we had. And so it was kind of a slow go. We couldn't get anybody until October to do any kind of appraisal. And so Steve had sent me a price after we got the appraisal in, And he also sent me, well, along with that appraisal, he included the end of the lease so that we would pay off the lease to the end of its term. So, and that was prorated at about $50,000. He just said it was to the land value. And he also charged us for the appraisal. So we wrote a letter back to him, and I'd like to read that for the record. We'd like to submit a, dear Steve, we would like to submit a response to the pricing proposal sent last week for the leased land our building is permanently situated on. You previously informed us that the purchase price is subject to a commercial appraisal and cannot fall below the appraisal's value as per municipal regulations. You also mentioned that direct negotiations would be possible following the completion of this appraisal. Consequently, we have been in a holding pattern for nearly 3 months, eager to proceed with the purchase. It is important to draw your attention to the language of the resolution that was adopted during the assembly meeting on August 21st, 2023, which reads as follows. Borough Code Section 16.16.070, Sales of Tidelands. One, in isolated and necessary instances, the assembly may sell tracts of tide and submerged lands which are not needed for public purposes. And two, sales of tide and submerged land shall not be made for consideration less than the assessed full and true value as established by the borough assessor. And three, the assembly shall hold a public hearing to consider the disposal of the tidelands. And four, at the hearing, the benefits of the sale of the subject tideland that could not be realized through leasing must be clearly demonstrated. And five, an applicant for purchase of tidelands must conclusively demonstrate that outright sale of a tideland as constructed with lease of the tideland is in the borough's best interest. So when resolution number 2023-11 was put into motion at the August 21st meeting, it was not altered or amended. So the wording stands that the sales of tide and submerged land shall not be made for consideration less than the assessed value and true value as established by the borough assessor. Nowhere in the resolution is there a stipulation or directive that mandates the borough manager to commission an expensive appraisal, commercial appraisal, as a prerequisite for entering into direct negotiations. Further, this excerpt, taken directly from municipal code, states the same, 16.12.010, power to acquire and dispose of real property. The borough assembly by resolution may authorize the acquisition and disposal of real property in accordance with the provisions of this chapter, and on terms and conditions of the assembly shall determine no accusation or disposal shall be made until the assessor has assessed the affected property and given the assembly an opinion as to the property's full and true value. Except as otherwise provided herein, real property shall not be disposed of for less than its assessed value, plus any applicable costs of sale. The equivalency of value and property to be acquired and disposed of by land exchange shall be determined by appraisal. And that is not as a sale of tidelands under the provisions section 16.12-140. Now that we have clarified that there was no obligation to procure a commercial appraisal, we won't be including that amount in our counter offer. Furthermore, in the event that we need the secure funds from a financial institution for the land acquisition, it's common knowledge that a privately owned, obtained appraisal is ineligible and will not be considered in the financing process. This appraisal that was ordered serves no purpose for us. Moreover, as a municipal code, any estimated costs and fees related to the property purchase should have been provided to the buyer in advance in written form, which was not done. Allow us to emphasize that the property holds significance solely for the borough as a lease parcel or disposal property, as well as for us, the proprietors of the permanent structure and the concrete pad that occupies the premises. No other parties could potentially express interest in acquiring this property without also acquiring our building. Moreover, it is legally impermissible to lease the property itself to any other entity because we own the permanent structure and the concrete pad atop it. Considering all these factors, a fair commercial appraisal would require an identical comparison to derive the value that was provided. Given that no other situation closely resembles ours, the appraisal presented holds little relevance and does not demonstrate fair market value. We were informed that among the comparable properties used, one was on Main Street, commercial parcel, and the other was located just off Main Street. These do not appear to be suitable comparisons. A glance at the assessed values of neighboring properties in proximity to our reveals that the commercial value is already factored into the borough's assessments. Our assessed value stands at $1,120 per square foot, whereas the property immediately behind us, situated on the waterfront, which is currently used as commercial storage, is assessed at $784.
We're at 5 minutes. Beyond 5 minutes. We have 5 minute time.
Okay, so how do I get my point? How am I able to present my case then? Do I need to just stand up and do this when you start discussing it?
Now is the time. We don't have a time clerk.
Maybe go ahead and finish up. Are you almost?
Well, I'm almost done.
Okay.
There's some points I want to make after this, but I will
please be
try to read
it's
faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
I apologize for that, but I thought I could present my case. I'm sorry. Okay, so furthermore, industrial properties located within a quarter of a mile of us, also on the waterfront and hosting active businesses, have assessed values ranging from $421 to $8 per square foot. This demonstration that the commercial value we have personally invested and cultivated is already reflected in the assessed value per square foot, surpassing by $3, $4 in any certain instances, and as much as $7 per square foot. I would go on to read this, but currently, taking into consideration everything stated above, we have set our counteroffer at the full and current assessed value on record, plus the final 2 years of our 5-year lease term. Currently, property value is $75,300, and the lease buyout at $4,032 for 2 years would be $8,064 for a total of $83,364. So, the lease. I sent you all a copy of the lease, or it should all be in your packet. When we did this lease on September 25th, 1992, at 2:07 p.m., by the way, the lease began with the City of Petersburg and ended at midnight on September 14th, 1997. So then we began the term of the lease. And that is in section 2.2, and it states the lease may be renewed at the option of lessee for 10 additional 5-year terms. So basically, every 5 years, we have the option to take that lease, which is why we are proposing to pay the 2 years of the lease amount, because we are within that 5-year period. So during the last 31 years, WeCon Enterprises has paid about $129,000 for the lease, which those funds go to the harbor, and $64,000 in property taxes, approximately. And I was trying to find the borough sales tax because we have contributed quite a bit there. So why are we wanting to purchase the property? I think you know we're trying to purchase it because our buyers need to get a loan, and in order to have a loan, they need to be on real property, not leased property. So we've talked to Glow about our intentions on this. We filled a land disposal application on June 22nd, July 11th. We had a first public hearing meeting, unanimously voted yes by the Planning Commission. And then we also had a harbor meeting that was an emergency meeting that we had as well. And it did pass, not unanimously, but it did pass. And then August 21st, we had our meeting, the second public hearing of which you have to have in order to sell property. And again, it says on that, the sales in tide submerged land shall not be made for consideration less than assessed value, true, full and true value as established by the assessor. So then we can carry it on with Debbie Thompson. And she gave us the appraisal of the property. And I still do not feel that what was used as for that appraisal was fair. It was downtown property, larger pieces than us. It had nothing to do with tidelands. There's other tidelands around there that they could have used. We met with Steve on October 31st, he sent me an email, and it was this is how much we want. And on November 1st, John and I went in and talked to him to explain that, you know, these five-year renewals. He said, we'll get back with you. We'll talk to the attorney. And so then he sent another email saying that after a conversation with our attorney, the borough confirms the cost of buying out the lease of $154,000. We want them to be successful. We want to be successful. And if you're asking us to pay the rest of the lease out, you're taking out of money of John and Sherry Wecon. And I just don't think that that's necessary to do. And I've got copies of you of what I've just scrolled through really fast. Also, a copy of the code showing what was voted on at that August 21st meeting. And then also the correspondence between Steve and I with the lease proposal of what he was proposing. And I would have thought it would have been a little more formal. And I thought there would have been some negotiation going on, but there was nothing. It was just a flat fee. This is what it is. Out the door we went. So.
Thanks for your information. I appreciate that.
And I'm really sorry. More time.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on items related to the agenda? Okay, please state your name and who you represent. And we would like to maintain that 5-minute time limit, if please.
Oh, this is about something different.
Okay.
My name is John Wecon. I own Wecon Enterprise with my wife. So she's a speaker because I'll probably just get mad and say something stupid. So anyway, but this is about the property, and I don't know what's all going on there that Rock and Road is trying to purchase and put in some modular homes. And I am all for it, and I know it's going to be a lot to put in a road and stuff. The city is not capable of doing that. They don't have the manpower or the equipment. So that's the only kind of person that can do something like that. And we do need something for the younger generation if they're going to come into town. Otherwise, we're just going to have old folks that can retire and build a nice house, and young people got nowhere to go. So I don't know. That's just my thoughts. So I think you should really think about supporting him on, let's get some younger people moved in, kind of like up at the Clinkett Hyde. I always told them, guys, sell them cheap, get people in there, get them to build a house. It'll generate revenue, taxes, and it'll get people to move here. But I don't know. It seems to always fall apart. So hopefully you'll move ahead and get something worked out with him. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on items related to the agenda? Okay, looking, seeing none. Move number 8, persons to be heard unrelated to agenda. People whose views on subjects not on today's agenda may share those views at this time. Please state your name and who you represent, please.
My name's Marlene Cushing, and I'm representing myself. I am on the PMC board. I want to talk about last Monday night, and it wasn't quite as ugly as tonight is, but it was not a pleasant night last Monday night. And the helicopter went down in Farragut Bay, the Coast Guard helicopter, and our search and rescue and our EMTs responded to go 20 miles over the water with blowing wind and waves coming over the boat to get out there and assist. And then at 3 in the morning, Petersburg Medical Center had 4 injured Coast Guard men coming into the emergency room on very surprising notice in the middle of the night. I know they had something like 24 people turn out within minutes of getting the call that all hands were needed. And they cared for those people, and they were two of them that were critically injured. PMC staff did a marvelous job stabilizing those people and getting them everything they needed. And then the Coast Guard sent a big medevac plane from Kodiak, but without personnel on board to take care of those patients. So it was Petersburg Medical Center staff that boarded that plane and took care of those guys all the way to Seattle. And I hear that they're doing well. And I just wanted to commend the search and rescue and the EMTs that went out that night. I know EMT are very short in town, and they're called on time after time after time. And it wasn't just one or two of them that needed to turn out that night. They needed the people that were out there at Farragut Bay. Then they needed the staff here that met the helicopter and transported the guys down to the hospital. So it was quite a complicated scene. And they rose to the occasion. And I just wanted to express my gratitude, and I think the whole city is grateful for what went on that night. And to say that I think the Petersburg Medical Center board and staff is looking forward for maintaining the level of service that we have in the future, so that we have the facility and we have the personnel that can handle the next time something awful happens, whether it's one person having a heart attack or a stroke, or whether it's a mass casualty incident like this. And I'm grateful to the Assembly for all the support that they've given so far in the project to build a replacement facility. And I hope that we continue to see that in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak? All right, next item is the boards, commissions, and committee reports. Seeing none, number 10 is consent agenda. We have nothing on that. Report of other officers, the mayor's report. If you will notice that. Let's see, I didn't get that one pulled up right in front of me. And then moving on to the manager's report. Manager Giesbrecht is taking some personal time off this week, so there's no written manager's report for this meeting. Moving on to item number 15, new business. Ordinance 2023-15, an ordinance adjusting the FY 2024 budget for known changes. If approved in three readings, Ordinance 2023-15 will, number one, assign $50,199 of Homeland Security grant revenue accepted by the Assembly on November 6, 2023, to the FY 2024 budget for the school district radios. Second item, authorize additional funds of $86,876 from the E911 fund to cover the cost of an upgrade to the police department access control system. Increase the budgeted amounts to cover actual costs for purchase of a new pump to replace the leaking leisure pool filtration pump for $10,398 and replacement of two benches at the South Harbor viewing platform that were damaged for that amount of $3,629. Item number four, transfer $880,000 from the electric department reserves to the Blind Slough Hydro Fund to finish out the project. Number five, increase FY 2024 budget amount for work on the EMD 16 generator that had been budgeted in 2023 but not invoiced until now for $5,850. Number six, increase the diesel plant maintenance line item to cover unanticipated work on the Caterpillar 398 generator rebuild for $20,981. Number seven, increase the motor pool operation and maintenance budget by $20,056 to cover unanticipated repairs on the line trucks. Number eight, increase the electric travel and training budget by $13,000 to cover online training for staff on the Eaton Yukon AMI program. Number nine, transfer wastewater reserves in the amount of $144,000 to the Pump Station 4 project to award a professional services contract for pump station control panels and control programming. Number 10, increase the electric department payroll budget by $132,366 for FY24 to cover the cost of ratifying the new IBEW collective bargaining agreement. Could I get a motion to approve Ordinance 2023-15, an ordinance adjusting the FY2024 budget for known changes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in here, some of them with bigger dollar signs than others. We spoke a little bit about this during the noon call-in show, but if possible, I'd like to inquire Carl to discuss the reason why the transfer of $880K from Electrical Department Reserve to the hydro project, and kind of what the process is for that and why we need to put that in right now from reserves, if that's okay, Carl?
Sure.
Just for those listening at home, because it's a big dollar amount, so they can understand the process.
It is a big dollar amount, through the Vice Mayor. So this is a very large transfer, and normally capital projects will have change orders at the end of a project that come up, and you have to adjust the budget. This is much larger than normal. As I put in my memo that I supplied Jody, and was hoping that it would end up in the packet available to the public, there were a number of expenses that, as we're trying to finish up this project, were going to come due. And I held off on this transfer for a long time, requesting this transfer, because we're in the running, a very good running, to receive a grant through the Department of Energy that would more than cover this $2.7 million grant. However, we don't have the final word on that. The project is wrapping up. We'll hopefully be online by mid-December. And with that happening, bills for our equipment supplier, Jilks Hydro, and also our general contractor, the joint venture between MCG Constructors and Dawson Construction, those closeout invoices will be coming due. Part of the reason that this is such a big number is that this project has been in the works, you know, for over 5 years, and we did go to the public and receive authorization for a bond issuance, and the bond issuance amount for this particular project was stated as right just over $5 million, whereas the bid amount for the actual construction was $5.7 million, which I'd like to point out was about $2 million less than the next highest or next lowest bidder. So we got a really good price on that bid, and it was a great action to award that contract and get going on this project that we needed to take care of. Other expenses in the project, we bought some equipment ourselves instead of getting the contractor to purchase it, because there were really long lead items, flow meter, some high pressure valves. All of these are expensive items, and we needed to purchase those ourselves. There were a number of professional services that we needed to procure to enable that the quality control plan that FERC requires on this project was met. So we hired welding inspectors and concrete inspectors. We had a hazardous materials evaluation done on the building, various things like that. All to cut to the chase that we do need to transfer this money so that we can close out this project.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it.
Any other discussion, questions? Okay, seeing none, clerk, would you please call the roll?
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That passes 6-0. Item number B on new business, Weecon Enterprises leased land purchase. On August 21st, 2023, the Assembly directed Manager Giesbrecht to commence direct negotiation with Weecon Enterprises, Inc. for sale of property they currently lease from the borough, with the terms of the negotiations to be brought back before the Assembly for final approval. Because the borough has not sold leased Tideland property in recent years and there is no specific procedure to follow, Manager Giesbrecht consulted with the borough attorney, Finance Director Tao, and Clerk Thompson to develop a process to follow on this transaction and any future similar transactions. An appraisal of the property was used to determine the value of the parcel because appraisals are for setting the value on a specific piece of property, while an assessment is used for establishing valuations for groups of properties. The appraisal of the parcel is $100,000. Borough Code Section 16.12.090 provides that the applicant shall pay the actual cost of processing the application and sale. The cost of the appraisal is $4,500. Manager Giesbrecht also requested the present value of the Weekon Enterprises lease, amortized, which has 23 of the 55 years left. The present value of the lease is $49,507.22. The proposed purchase price offered to Weekon Enterprises by Manager Giesbrecht is $154,107.22. Weekon Enterprises countered Manager Giesbrecht's offer by proposing to pay the assessed value of the parcel at $75,300 and two more years of lease payments, $8,064, for a total of $83,364. A copy of the Weekon lease amortization schedule, Weekon Enterprises counteroffered, and the Weekon Enterprises lease document are provided in this packet. The Assembly is now asked to determine whether to confirm the purchase price of the lease and land as proposed by Manager Giesbrecht or to adjust the total cost of purchasing the lease and land. Could I get a motion, please, to consider the sale of this leased land?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes, just a manager. Point of clarification. Was that a motion to approve to proceed with the proposal Manager Giesbrecht provided?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that's what yes. We're doing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? Assemblymember Doman.
Okay, so I've been working on this and trying to get to the crux of the issue, and there's kind of two parts of the issue. The contention of paying the 55-year lease in full, and then the count upon the negotiation of the price of the land. The contention is the assessed value versus the appraised value. First, I would like to go into the lease. It's not actually a 55-year lease. According to, let me find it here. I kept it. According to the lease agreement under Article 2, Term of Lease, Section 2.1, Term, the term of this lease shall extend for a period of 5 years, commencing on September 15th, 1992, and ending at midnight on September 14th, 1997. Section 2.2, Renewal. This lease may be renewed at the option of the lessee for 10 additional 5-year terms for a combined allowable duration of 55 years through September 14, 2050, provided that the lessee gives written notice to lessor of lessee's intention to exercise these options at least 90 days and not more than 150 days prior to the expiration of the original lease term or any renewable term. So their lease is basically, it's rolled over every five years. They have a 5-year lease. What they have is a 5-year lease, because it's only renewed. It says this lease may be renewed at the option of the lessee only when they request in writing. So in my interpretation, it's not a guaranteed renewal. So they're only, we have an attorney over there, he could answer this. But in my interpretation, they have a 5-year term, and so I'm in favor of holding them obligated to the last 2 years of their 5-year term and not the additional 20 years. The second part of it is the difference of opinion of the valuation on the land. The Weekon's contention is that, let me find it here. Under borough code, and she quoted it, borough code section 16.16.070, sale of tide land states, and under item two, second or number two, sales of tide and submerged lands shall not be made for consideration less than the assessed and true value as established by the borough assessor. Okay, so it can't be less than what the appraised, or excuse me, what the assessed value is. And I don't think that they were, maybe didn't realize or understand that normal protocol when you purchase property is the land or the building, the house, whatever gets appraised. And that is what fair market value is. The assessed value is not fair market value. So I side with them in regards to not paying the additional 20 years in the terms of their lease, but I do agree with the borough manager when it comes to the value of the property being $100,000.
Thank you. Anybody else have comments or questions?
Bob would like to speak.
Bob, Assembly Member Lynn, please.
Yes, thank you. First, I got some points to make, but first, I would like to see Manager Giesbrick explain how he came to this, and particularly how is this something that we can support in the future, the process of which he's come up with. Thank you.
Thank you. Manager Giesbrick, would you like to chime in?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So, through the Vice Mayor, actually this started with, we went back to our attorney, as mentioned earlier, the borough's never done this and did not have a policy or a procedure in place. So Debbie, Jody, and I, along with our attorney, Sarah Heidemann, kind of talked through it. The present value of those lease payments was actually put forward by the attorney to try to set the true value of that lease, in the sense that while it is true, the Weekons could cancel the lease with no penalty in those 5-year intervals, the borough's giving up all those remaining lease payments if the property is sold. Instead of releasing the property to someone, by selling the property, the borough leaves that on the table. So setting true value, the best value for the borough, involved collecting those lease payments. As far as precedent goes, to what Assemblymember Lynn is talking about, that's an important part of this whole process, is I think whatever the assembly agrees to here, and there's not really a right or wrong answer. I think this is one of the reasons why it's a challenge, is that we're going to be responsible for doing this in this way probably in the future. So an appraisal costs, number of lease payments remaining, or lesser number than that. And again, I think you can argue that the lease extends out, and that if the Weekons canceled it, then the borough would be in the right to say, okay, remove your building. The borough could then in turn release that property. I don't think anybody wants to do that. Weekons are great people and have added a lot to this community. We don't want to do that. But again, my job is try to get the maximum for the borough's taxpayers. And so we put that forward.
Thank you, Manager Giesbrick. Any other comments? Yes, Assemblymember Fine-Walsh.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I'm inclined to agree with Member Newman here that the requesting the remaining lease payments is maybe unnecessary. I think it does make sense, seeing that they can freely cancel the lease on those 5-year intervals, that they would pay for the remaining, their intention being to cancel the lease. I think it's important to bear in mind that if this does go into the private market, the borough would be getting property taxes on that piece of property here going forward. So it strikes me as, you know, maybe not quite double dipping, but a little bit in that direction if we were to request these, you know, hypothetical lease payments in addition to the property taxes that would be coming in from the new buyer. Something to consider. And then as far as the whether to sell it at assessed value or the appraised value, I agree. I see the director from the assembly originally being to set these negotiations with the floor being the assessed value, and now the managers come back with an appraised value of $100,000, which I believe is reasonable, and I'm inclined to adopt that practice. I am, to determine to appraise essentially the market value of the property when selling property here. I think the really important thing, stepping back, to remember is that we're accomplishing the sale of the property, that it's no longer going to be leased property. This is going to go into the private market. It's going to be owned by a private business. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. I understand that, you know, that we don't want to charge, you know, exorbitant amounts to the Weekons, because that's, you know, that's obviously not great. But at the same time, I don't think, you know, in the case of transferring commercial property like this to a buyer who appears to have access to financing, there's not, you know, demonstration of an overriding need to get this down to the absolute minimum possible price. So that's my position there. I guess I'm a little disappointed that an appraisal cost us so much money. It was $4,500. But you know, that is what it is. I kind of take issue folding that $4,500 into the application fee, because I believe application fees typically, they account for the time personnel in the borough spend putting together and processing an application. And if an application fee were to include, you know, a several thousand dollar appraisal fee, you know, it seems incumbent upon the manager maybe to discuss that with the applicant, I think. So I don't think it's correct to include that $4,500. And I'll leave it at that. Maybe we can make an amendment here to this if somebody sees fit.
Thank you. Assemblymember Schwartz.
I think another thing to consider is the decades of lease that they've paid, you know, and contributed to the town, the borough. It's a private business that has paid in and paid in and paid in. And if that would have been empty land, we wouldn't have generated anything out of it. So I agree with Scott. The 23 years left, that one needs to go away.
Thank you. Yes,
sir. Yeah, before one of you moves towards an amendment on that, which I'll look forward to that. But on the bones of it, I think if we're going to be selling off Tidelands, having some sort of framework in place that we can fall back on, because this may be the first one in a long time, but it most certainly will not be the last. I think the manager choosing to use the appraisal method of that, although not perfect, gives us a good baseline to work with for the future. So I am in support of that. And despite the Weekons approach, I feel it's better for us long term to use appraisal as a way of moving forward. Because again, appraisal and assessed value are not the same. Then I'll yield back if someone wanted to make a motion in regard or an amendment regarding the length of lease piece.
Thank you. I've chewed on this a lot and spoken to Sherry and other people in the community. With these five-year increments, if at any point in time they had decided to, say after 15 years, at the end of that fifth year there, if they vacated the lease, then they would have had to remove their structure, which I think would be most unfortunate. So that does put a little bit of limitation on the end of this five-year lease incremental layout. And I believe that the intent in the code was the assessed value would reflect the true and fair value. And I do believe that this industrial assessment does that. So I am definitely inclined to support the $100,000 valuation on that appraisal. As far as the life of the lease, I think you can go either way. I appreciate Member Feinwalsh's mentioning that the property tax, it goes into, you know, it continues a business, new owner, they're going to be paying property taxes in essence. Whereas the property tax will then be divvied between the school and other entities in town. And I believe that the lease money goes directly to the harbor. Is that correct? Thank you. So the harbor directly would be losing some revenue. And you can be assured that the ratepayers in the harbor are going to make up that difference. So I could be okay on the not extending their responsibility to the life of the lease of the 55 years. Could I get a motion, please, to amend this? Yes, thank you, Member Feinwalsh.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to amend this such that the sale price would be $108,064. That would be the $100,000 valuation of the property, plus the $8,064 remaining on the lease as calculated by the WECONs, not including the assessor's fee. And I would also add to that amendment, if possible, I would like to see, you know, this, if possible, this money earmarked for the harbor, because I understand that the harbor will be losing some revenue as a result of this, so it would be nice to see this money go where it's needed. And I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, for the sake of discussion.
Yes.
Clerk Regula, just as more of a point of clarification, I don't believe you can earmark any kind of property tax money for like the Harbor Department or anything else. Could you? It's not the way that works, I don't believe.
I think we could check with Manager Giesbrecht on that question.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the sale proceeds.
Oh, for the sale.
Just for the sale.
Yeah.
I would like that clarification.
As opposed to, I believe it would be going in the property development fund.
Manager Giesbrecht, would you be able to address that, please?
Yeah. Currently, the way the code reads and our budget policy documents is that when property is sold, it goes to the property development fund.
So nothing would be earmarked specifically for the harbor?
Correct. The harbor would be losing the lease revenue, and the property development fund would get the proceeds from the sale. And just to understand, once we're talking about a purchase price, we're not talking about lease payments anymore. We're talking about a set price by the assembly that's made up of different components. So it just gets a little more weird. But yeah, so I mean, unfortunately, the way it currently reads, we could not give those proceeds directly to the harbor.
Thank you for that clarification.
Can I follow up on that, Vice Mayor? Thank you. Just to the amendment, I appreciate that clarification. I can definitely get on board with the two more years of lease payments, as Member Feinwalsh said, for that $8,064, but I will not vote for this specific amendment because I think the cost of the appraisal really should be included in the sale price. If this does not pass, I would gladly revisit it with that money included in there. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we do have motion. Yes, Member Lynn.
Mayor, yes, if I could add in there, I'm in agreement with Member Stanton Greger is that if we can, with the 5 years, I can agree with, but I really do think that the cost should be included in. I think it should be included as part of the process in any future negotiations too, because whatever we do here is going to become part, or it's going to be a written process for the future also. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Any further discussion?
One comment.
Yes. I don't believe you can at this point. Yes, Member Newman.
Just the fact that, you know, we move mountains and set precedent by selling tied land lease holder agreement to the entity is, you know, has caused a lot of stress on the assembly and myself included. And so the one thing when I review this is, I digress just a little bit here from the motion, but I do think it bears mentioning that when I reviewed their lease agreement, there is no exit clause whatsoever in the lease agreement. So that puts us in another difficult position to be able to ascertain how we're going to navigate through this without setting an unreasonable precedent that we're going to have a difficulty following in the future. So I would recommend, you know, we need to have discussions among ourselves. I don't know if we can make a motion or whatever to maybe, you know, these lease agreements are 30 years old. Maybe they need to be reviewed and include an exit clause so that we don't have to come here and do this again in the future. But that being said, I'm in agreement that the cost of the appraisal should be passed on to the purchaser.
Thank you. Member Schwartz.
We had a motion. We had a second. We've discussed it. Some reading things. Can we vote it down and make another amendment? Do that? Is that what we're going to do?
That's the may I, Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the process. If this amendment gets voted down, a different amendment could be made, and then back to the main motion, all the amendments are done. Thank you for letting me clarify.
You bet. Member Fine Walsh.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in light of the information from Manager Giesberg, I would eliminate the portion about moving money to the harbor if that's simply not possible according to the code. But yeah, if you want to vote on the amendment as presented and go from there, I'm happy to do that.
Okay, thank you. I guess Clerk Regula said it's okay. Sherry, would you like to address this?
If you look at the letter we sent on the second page, it says, as per municipal code, any estimated costs and fees related to the property purchase should have been provided to the buyer in advance in written form, and that was not done. So for that fee of the appraisal, Steve did say it was going to be around $3,300, and then we never got it in written form, and it was the $4,500 at the end. So it does state that in our letter, and it is per municipal code.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor that has been amended, and which, Clerk, would you steer me right on where we are on that, what it says, please?
Yes, and you can correct me, Thomas, if you need to. So Thomas amended the motion to have the sale price be $108,064. And then we discussed earmarking that to go to the harbor, but you withdrew that. So the motion as it stands, would you just like to repeat your motion?
Oh, I certainly, and I'm inclined, if it's not going to be too much trouble, I'm inclined to amend it further in light of what she's just said and save everybody the trouble of doing this twice, perhaps. You know, I would withdraw the, you know, removing the assessor's fee, include that in the price, and you may have to help me with the math here in that case, and make that my final version of this motion. I apologize for the confusion. So it would be $100,000 assessed value, $8,064 for the lease buyout, and the assessor's fee, which was, remind me?
$4,500.
Okay, so we have an amended motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I can second that.
Thank you. Brought forth by Member Fine Walsh, approved by Member Stanton Greger. Any discussion on this?
I'm sorry.
That's right. Yes, Member Newman.
Thank you. I'm trying to find where it says in the code what she had just indicated.
see. Does anybody have a code reference on that one? I'm not seeing it either. We can research it, or we can take the vote. What is the assembly's preference?
There, where it was.
Sherry, do you have a?
I do not have a specific.
Okay.
Yeah, Manager Giesbrecht. Sorry.
Okay.
Are you asking me a question?
Thank you, Manager Giesbrecht.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about that? Is that any better?
It is. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I should have got this closer to me. So I'm not familiar with what Sherry's mentioning. A lot of this stuff happened with Debbie prior to me getting involved in doing the negotiations. So I can't answer the question. I don't know if Debbie, you know, said this is coming. I don't believe it was ever done in writing. I think that's true. Other than when I finally sent the bid, the cost out, but I don't know what Debbie did in the conversations that she had with the Weekons.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the floor. Further discussion?
Well, the total price would be, well, sorry.
Yes, Member Swartz.
$112,564.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. With no further discussion, Clerk, would you please call the roll on the amendment as amended to have the sale price being the assessed value of $100,000, the two additional years of the lease that would finish out the five-year interim period, as well as the cost of the appraisal for $4,500 to about $112,000. $564. If you'd call the roll, please.
Scott.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Donna.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yes.
Thank you. Rob.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Motion passes 6-0. All right, that brings us to item C.
Madam Mayor,
the
main motion is still alive.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
Main motion. We need to address that. So we have a motion on the floor, which is to approve the sale of the Weekon lease as presented by Manager Giesbrecht. And we have a second. Do we need to take a roll call vote on that as well? Thank you. All right, Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Scott.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Donna.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Rob.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I think we're now ready to move on to the next item. Item number C, letter of support for Petersburg Medical Center's submission to Governor Dunleavy's FY 2025 capital budget for $37 million. For construction of phase four main hospital building, shell and core of the new healthcare facility project. If approved, the assembly will send Governor Dunleavy a letter of support for PMC's request for $37 million from the governor's FY 2025 capital budget for construction of phase four of the new facility project. So do we need a motion on this?
Yep. So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay, approved by, or made motion by Member Stanton Greger and seconded by Member Swartz. Any discussion? Yes, Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be voting for this. I think we've talked about this project a lot. This is the next phase. The governor's capital budget is a great source of revenue for large capital projects. Casting a wide net for infrastructure money is appropriate. It keeps it off the backs of the local taxpayers, as the CEO of a hospital, Hofstetter, has said over and over again. It's been a top priority to him. I think it's a prudent time to get this on there, so I'll definitely be voting to approve sending this letter. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further comments?
Yes, Vice Mayor.
Yes, Member Lynn.
Yeah, and I put the letter on the agenda. Normally, we don't take a position on the governor's capital budget. To my knowledge, we haven't had a project, or we haven't sent a project for it for a long, long time. But I think it's very important for us to put this, to support this on the governor's side of this thing, as well as later we'll get a chance to vote on it from the legislative side. So it would give a strong message to our legislature that we're totally in on both the governor and the governor's side and the legislative side. But at any rate, it'll give us a strong message that we're totally in favor of this project. And this would also get us to the point, if we were to get this money, that we certainly would have a total structure in place, although nothing finished inside. And I totally support where the hospital board went with this, with the idea that they, by building the outside structure and getting it essentially finished, then we can move to the inside. And so we take it in phases. So I totally support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I myself still struggling with this. I see an iceberg ahead, and we're on a collision course. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dreadfully wrong. But with the $28 million that we've already acquired, nailed down, and requesting $37 million additional dollars, leaving $30 million more in the request pile, that puts us at $96 million. We're $10 million over budget already, and we've barely just been a week into the project actually moving some dirt and rocks. I think it's going to be a great facility, but I don't think this town can support it. We've got too many, we're spread really thin, and whether we pay it, whether the tax burden falls on the local taxpayer or the national tax base, we're still paying for it. So at this point, I cannot put my voice of support behind this at this point. Any other discussion? Hearing none, clerk, would you please call the roll?
Rob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, motion passes 5-1. Item D, appointment to the Southeast Alaska Power Agency Board of Directors for 2024 of two voting and two alternate members. In 2024, the Petersburg Borough is entitled to two voting member seats and two alternate seats on the SEPA Board of Directors. Letters of interest have been received from Bob Lynn and Carl Hagerman for the voting member seats, from Mark Jensen for an alternate member seat, and from Thomas Fine Walsh for either a voting or alternate member seat. I'd like to make a motion to approve this, that Mark Jensen would be alternate and Thomas Fine Walsh would also be an alternate. Any discussion? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
Thank you. A motion been submitted by Member Stan Greger and seconded by Member Fine Walsh. Any discussion on this? Yes, Member Schwartz.
Two enthusiastic thumbs up.
That sounds good. So apparently the SEPA board has a method and procedure already that if somebody can't attend, they then will designate who is the alternate. Mr. Hagerman, would you be able to address any of that, being as you are a current sitting member?
So yes, I think I can. I hope I can. So how I've seen it handled at the SEPA board for other communities that often have multiple voting members and alternates, such as Ketchikan. There's an alternate actually appointed for each voting member's seat. So if that voting member is not able to attend for whatever reason, then the designated alternate stands in for that voting member. And I believe that's how it's been done since I've been involved. I know there was a question on whether or not the alternates were appointed in an order so that if if either the voting members were not available, then it would be starting in that order, that alternate would stand in. But that's not how I've seen it done on the board of directors. And that could be something that we can just get sorted out with the bylaws, to take a look at the bylaws for the SEPA board of directors and see how that is supposed to work. But that's hopefully that's helpful. That's how I've seen it happen.
Yes, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Motion passes 6-0. Next item are communications that the Assembly has received. They are in the packet and online. Please take a moment to review them if you haven't already. Item 17, Assembly discussion items. Are there any comments from Assembly members? Yes, Member Stanton Gregor.
Yeah, two things. Thank you, Madam Mayor. One, as several people spoke to today, a big thank you to our EMS and search and rescue and all parties involved, including our local hospital, for their assistance on that helicopter crash. It is really scary stuff, and I'm glad those people are okay. And also a plug to please volunteer EMS search and rescue. We need people desperately, so please consider donating some time that direction. And then I just wanted to wish everyone in the community a wonderful and peaceful Thanksgiving, however you celebrate it. I hope it works well for you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, Member Fine-Walsh.
Just a quick comment. You know, the two pretty big construction projects here recently at the Hammer and Wecon building and now the hospital. And I think it's a good time. I want to put a bug in everyone's ear to start talking about whether or not it's going to be possible to open up the airport access road and allow some of this traffic to traverse on that road. You know, I think that's going to be really important once the hospital project gets cooking, because it's going to be a tremendous amount of traffic that we may be able to divert, you know, around town completely. That would be very helpful, I think, for everyone involved. So I hope we can discuss that further in the future here.
Okay, thank you. Hearing no more comments, could I get a motion or any recognitions? We've kind of done that already with our comments. And could I get a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Motion's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.